everybody on? Good.
Great. Grand. Wonderful.
This is The Drive with Larry Hardesty.
No yelling on the bus.
I got to tell you, I was yelling driving the bus. It was like my kingdom for a red zone touchdown for the Jets. It was like, how can the Giants lose and go to overtime and tie with Washington when you got Philly next week? It was like, what do you mean Jacob DeGrom is in Texas? It was like, you mean Aaron Judge hasn't signed anywhere yet? And then you mean Rick DiPietro and Dave Rothenberg on 6-10 starting in the new year? What the heck happened while I was away? Along with Chantel, Jacob, and Joe, it's The Drive on 98.7 ESPN, 1-800-919-3776. Also via Twitter, at Hardesty ESPN, at ESPNNY, 98_7FM. Man, we've got a lot to talk about. We've got a lot to do. Can't wait to talk to you. So let's start with football, shall we? And of course, we'll update you on what's going on the Sunday night matchup between the Colts and the Cowboys. We'll give you a score as the Colts lead 10-7 with a little over 10 minutes left to go before halftime. Let me tell you about this Jets team. And yes, I know there's a number of you who are going to say, listen, you got to be able to get a touchdown. But when you look, and you're right, you got to be able to get a touchdown there. You had too many opportunities where you didn't do it. But I got to tell you, this team looks like a totally different team with Mike White. And yes, I understand over 400 yards against the Chicago Bears defense and a team that's not that great. I get it. But over 300 yards when they took the run away and you had to play catch up and you hit pass after pass, got knocked around. Mike White looks pretty good, ladies and gentlemen. If you're a Jet fan right now, you're not even thinking. If you're the Jets, there's nothing, and it might be unfair, but I'm just going to call it the way I see it. At this point, and the Cowboys have scored 6 plays, 56 yards, they got a touchdown, extra point pending. If you're the Jet management right now, there is nothing, as of right now, there's nothing Mike White can do to get off the field. This is his team for the rest of the season. There's no reason, there's no need for you to go back to Zach Wilson. There just isn't. He's going to have to learn on the practice field. He's going to have to learn running the scout team. The passes that I saw Mike White throw today against a very, very good Minnesota defense were competent NFL passes. You didn't see that with Zach Wilson. Yeah, I know I'm starting trouble, but that's okay. I'm just telling you how I feel. You did not see that with Zach Wilson consistently. You didn't do it. Okay? Gary Wilson is an outstanding receiver. And you know what? I like what the Jets did defensively as far as making some adjustments in the second half. This team has gotten better. This coaching staff has gotten better. They're not perfect. And they're going to make some mistakes. And there's some things we can sit back. Well, you should have ran in here. You should have done this. I get it. Because you're 1-6 in the red zone. And all you needed was one more touchdown. And you win. One more. And yeah, we're going to talk about Braxton Berrios dropping the pass that was right in his hand. But there's some other plays too. Jets lose 27-22, and it's going to be tough for them next week. They've got a Buffalo Bills team in Orchard Park that's waiting for them. And we know what happened to Mike White the last time he had good games and faced Buffalo. We know that it was tough sledding for him. But this Jet defense continues to get better and better and better. And yet they were struggling in the first half. But you look at what they've done with that young man, Jefferson, when he has been torching the league. 1-800-919-3776. I'll give you more of my thoughts and your calls are next on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to The Drive with Larry Hardesty on 98.7 ESPN.
It's The Drive on 98.7 ESPN, 1-800-919-3776. Also via Twitter, at Hardesty ESPN, at ESPNNY, 98_7FM. We'll get to the phones in a second. I tell you, this is going to be interesting to see what the Jets have to do and what they're going to do next season, because there's and you can just see it with the team. You can see it, and I'm not even there, but you just see how the team has rallied around Mike White. You just see how they fight for him. You just see what they do. It's just a different vibe in that locker room. And once again, you know, in hindsight, it's a moral victory. And more victories don't mean a thing in the National Football League, especially this month, because this is the month where you have to find ways to win games. Jets have 7 wins. And at the beginning of the season, a number of you would have loved 7 wins for this Jet team. You would have been extremely happy. Wow, 7 wins for the team. Oh, man, that's great. That's what we want, 7 wins. We're going somewhere. But now everything has changed with the way your defense has played, with the way some of the offensive spark that you've seen, and now with the way Mike White, you made the adjustment. You saw what the coaching staff did in the front office by you benching, not only benching Zach Wilson, but making him inactive says that we're going for it. We've got to get to the postseason this year. So in the offseason, you'll figure out, okay, what are we going to do at quarterback? What do we know? What's happening with Zach Wilson? Is he our guy? Do we have to go out and get a veteran signal caller for next year and have a quarterback battle that includes Mike White? Yeah, you worry about that in the offseason. Right now, what you have to do is learn from your loss today against a very talented Minnesota team who you went toe-to-toe with on the road, and you almost come away with a victory. Now, once again, you've got Buffalo again. You've got Miami again. You've got a couple of more games. I believe you got to get to 10 wins for you to have an opportunity for the postseason. Got to find a way to get 10. And ultimately, those 2 losses to New England are going to come up and bite you. I'm just saying. You need to split with one of those. You need to split. As far as the Giants are concerned, listen. I thought the Giants were going to win this game against Washington outright. I did. Even though when they took the lead, I just thought that their defense would find a way to pressure Heinicke and get Washington off their game so they would have an opportunity to win and keep pace with what's going on in that division. Okay, they've already lost to Dallas twice. They have Philly coming up next week. They have a tie with Washington. So if the Giants want to make the postseason, they're going to have to get themselves together. We talked about this stretch of 4 games that you would be happy if they went 2-2. So right now, you know, they've got a tie in there and they've got a loss. So we'll see what happens as they go forward. But I'm just curious to see what this team is going to do and how they're going to fare against the Philadelphia team that, listen, Jalen Hurts today, 29 of 39, 380 yards, 3 touchdowns against not a walkover, but a pretty good Tennessee team. Giants have their work cut out for them next week. No doubt about it. Giants have their work cut out for them next week. Let me just touch on this before we get to the phones. A number of you have, and I'll get to Jacob DeGrom and baseball a little later in the show before we leave you at midnight. Watching the Knicks tonight in the game you just heard on 98.7 ESPN. Watching the Knicks tonight, I don't know. I don't know if this is... They won, and you don't kill a team when they win. They found a way to win, coming off an abysmal performance yesterday where they continued to not defend the 3, where Dallas had their way, where you understand that Luka Doncic is going to get his. He is a tremendous player. He is an outstanding player. And he dropped a little weight. He's a little quicker. Great eyes, great passing, great shot. But you can't let Tim Hardaway Jr. light you up like that. You can't do it. You can't do that. And so tonight, they found a way to win. They caught a Cleveland team napping. Really, Cleveland played like they were coming off the second of a back-to-back. And give the Knicks credit, they found a way to win at home, even though they turned for. They turned the basketball over a lot, but I'd have to go back. I can't remember the amount of traveling calls in an NBA game that were called in the game tonight. I can't remember. It's a mystery to me. There had to be, out of the, 40-plus turnovers they were in this game, almost half of them had to be traveling calls. It just seemed like it. Every time you turn around, beep, traveling. And listen, we understand that people travel in the National Basketball Association. It's not news. People have traveled in the NBA for decades. It's never called. I mean, it's got to be really obvious for it to be called in the NBA. Well, it must have been really obvious to this crew because they called it over and over and over again. So like I said, listen, the Knicks played well tonight. You give them credit, but they're not going anywhere like this. I mean, what is this, the first game? They didn't allow 100 points defensively? And I know people talk, Larry, all you do is talk about defense. Defense. I know this is about scoring. I know scoring is fun. I know the three-pointers are great. I know up and down and, you know, the fast break basketball is pretty and athletic. It is. And I enjoy it too. I love watching up-tempo games. But there comes a time in games where you have to shut down and play defense. And the Knicks did that in the fourth quarter. They found a way to play some defense. And that's how they, you know, held on to win this game. But it's inconsistent. And I'm not back from vacation, and I'm not trying to be here during the holidays trying to talk about people's jobs. But I said this before I left. This team is not really listening to Tom Thibodeau. And his track record has been, where he's been, the third year has started to be an issue. Once again, they won the game. That's a good thing. But for a guy, and I get it, there's not a lot of defensive players on here, okay, that you could hang your hat on. There's not a lot. There isn't. Not a lot of guys. But the effort is not there. The effort just hasn't been there consistently. So we'll see what happens. Maybe they'll go on a little run and they'll do some things. But they're just not playing well. You know what I mean? I mean, they're playing okay. They're just not playing well. And when you look at the record and you look at where they've been, and listen, and just think, if they didn't have Jalen Brunson, it would be worse. It would be worse. Fortunately, they do have him. And he bailed them out again tonight with some key moments. And I like what Quickley did off the bench tonight was a big help. But as I look at this team going forward, I don't know. I'm looking at more, this is not top eight. Now, listen, they could make a change. They could get hot. They could just turn on and go on a roll. But the way they've played over the past week, this looks like maybe playing. Maybe. And with a bad stretch, they could be on the outside looking in again. 1-800-919-3776. I'll talk to you next on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to The Drive with Larry Hardesty on 98.7 ESPN.
Just another inch for Braxton Barrios. Just if Garrett Wilson's left foot doesn't hit the sideline, Jets win that game. It's The Drive on 98.7 ESPN, 1-800-919-3776. Also via Twitter, at Hardesty ESPN, at ESPNNY, 98_7FM. Let's go to the phones and talk to you. Spike's in St. Pete. Hey, Spike, lead us off on The Drive.
Well, first of all, if I had the welcome back Carter theme, I'd play that. As far as the football teams go, look, they both won four games, I believe, last year. and the numbers combined were whatever, 5.5 and 7. They've made quantum leaps by all standards, no question about it. It looks like Sala's not that bad, and the Giants certainly have a good coach. So will they get stuck this year in a quagmire where they're in 10 for the Jets or 9 for the Jets and 9 for the Giants? We don't know, but it's the arrow's pointed up. Am I right?
Yeah, the arrow's pointed up for both teams. No question about it.
Okay. Now, DeGrom we'll talk about later. Let everyone call. It's great. I'm cherishing talking to you because I really missed you when you're gone. And, boy, you missed a lot, but I'm sure you kept up with it. So I got to get to the Knick game, and I have a three-second tune to play you, so I'm going to make sure you hear this. And this is how I came out of my one-word synopsis of the game. Here we go. Would that be the accurate tune?
Yeah, it sure would be. All right, Spike, you've watched basketball a long time. When's the last time you saw that many travel calls in an NBA game?
No, they announced it on the air. I'm sure you had football on, and I don't know your exact setup.
I was all over the place.
Okay. Here, the record, well, first of all, you know what happened. This happens every year, Larry, but not to this magnitude. And I have been watching basketball a long time, same age as the league. So what they said before the league, and Breen brought it up, because Breen was an official. He was referee when he was up wherever he was, Mount Vernon. So anyway, he said they met before the season, and this always happens, and they enforce it more strictly at the beginning of the season, and then you get back to your bad habits. The record was there were five times 10 travelings were called, and one time 11. I believe the final count on the Antoine Fats Domino walking call was 15 tonight. It was so ridiculous. And that game threw me back to the 90s. You know, I like that kind of basketball. But, Larry, I have never seen three things. First of all, Knicks had 20 turnovers up to the third quarter. Mm-hmm. I know you were all over the place. You'll pick all this up later. And one in the fourth quarter. The shooting, I believe the total at one point, if I'm off one hand to God, I'm off by one or two. The two teams at one point were 4 for 40 or something. And, man, stop taking the threes. Go to the rack. Put the ball on the deck. Look, I think he's lost the team. I like that he put Deuce McBride in. I don't know what's happened to the other kid on the bench whose name, Jericho Sims. He was playing well. But it looks like he's lost the team. I agree with you. Yesterday was unwatchable, so I rewatched parts of it to see how bad it was. And then I'm watching this slop tonight and the walking. You know, Barrett got called twice for running into moving guys. That's not a travel by the rule of law. So, look, I'm glad you're on. I'll listen to everybody. The Jets and Giants will dominate the talk until you get to Judge and DeGrom. There's a lot going on, but I'm really glad you're back, and I can really listen and enjoy my friend talking sports.
Well, I appreciate that, Spike. Thanks for the phone call. Knicks tonight, 5 of 29 for three. 5 of 29. For you math majors, that's 17.2%. 5 of 29. And listen, Cavs weren't much better. 8 of 35. 8 of 35. It was bad. It was not a good game. But listen, when you're struggling like the Knicks have struggled, especially at the Garden, when you're 11-13 and 5-7 at home, you'll take it. You'll take it. Once again, you call it winning ugly. That was they won ugly tonight. They won ugly. Chris is in Bethpage. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how you doing, my friend? I want to talk about the Giants. As I was telling your call screen and Joe Leo, just a couple of things before I get to the game. Based on what I saw today, I love Saquon Barkley, but I don't know if you saw the game, Larry. I know you're probably watching the Jets. But the Giant game, all right, so the Giant game, what I'm going to say is that the Commanders had the better running attack than the Giants. And I just think it's foolhardy for the Giants to think going forward that they should sign Saquon to a long-term contract. There's just so many running backs out there that you can get. And, you know, he was the third best running back on the field today. So I'm just saying, I love the guy to death, but there's just, I think today to me proved more than ever, it's time to move on. And, you know, you don't want to get into the Ezekiel Elliott problem that the Cowboys have, you know, just tying up all that money in the running back position. It makes no sense. And I just came to that. I was feeling this way, but today just solidified it for me. And then I look around the league, Larry, and I see a bunch of teams like the Lions and, you know, the Raiders. They just have these running backs that are, you know, a little bit younger than Saquon that are just, you know, look at the Jets. Look at how well the Jets are doing the running game. So that's point number one, is that I think today, I think it probably even told the Giants, too, that there's no way they're going to sign him to a long-term, you know, $12 million a year contract. I'm just saying that. That's number one. Number two is, like I said, I don't know if you saw the game, but there was a non-call by the refs, happened right in front of them. Giants almost picked off the ball on the sidelines right before the fourth down completion. The biggest play of the game was that Tyler Heinicke rollout. They put pressure on him on fourth and four, and he threw a beautiful pass. He made a great play. But the play right before it, the Giants almost picked it off, and it was clearly offensive pass interference on, you know, on the Commanders, and it wasn't called by the refs. I'm just wondering if you saw that play. It was, and then happened right in front of the ref, and yeah, that pretty much
the receiver wrapped his arm around. Was it McLeod? I think it was. The receiver wrapped his arm, and thanks for the phone call, Chris. I did see it. The receiver wrapped his arm around it and prevented him from getting the interception. And it's crazy. It's just, it's, you know, Gordon Damer and I were having this conversation maybe a couple of weeks ago on ESPN New York Tonight, Monday through Thursday at 10 p.m. or after local sport coverage. And it really depends on the crew. Some crews call it close. Some crews let you play. Some crews, like you look at the Jets-Vikings crew earlier, the first half, they called everything. Like they called a lot. It really, and it shouldn't be. I mean, the rules are the rules. To me, there was no question that was offensive pass interference. You are correct. Just like the defender can't do that, the offensive player can't do that either. So you're right about that. Your thoughts about Saquon Barkley is this. I hear what you're saying. I don't know that the Giants were going to do anything long-term with him anyway. I will admit that since teams have made the adjustment, which is really not fair to him, it's unfortunate. But really, the Giants don't have a consistent downfield threat that opens your defense, that loosens it up. So really, teams have made the adjustment to say, okay, we'll let Daniel Jones beat us in the air. You're not beating us with the running game. We're going to contain you from running, you being Daniel Jones, and we're going to contain Saquon Barkley from running. And that's what you're seeing teams do. They have taken the run away from the Giants. Look at Barkley's numbers over the past 2, 3, 4 games, and look how they have diminished from earlier in the season, where he was dominant. Because they don't really have another pass threat. So I understand what you're saying. I agree with you that they shouldn't do anything long-term with him multiple years because of the fact of the injuries in the previously. This year, he has been phenomenal. Did not have a really good game today by his own standards. I mean, let me see what the stats are. 18 carries for 63 yards and a touchdown, long of 21. So, I mean, you know, it averages about 3 yards a carry. So I get it. I get what you're saying. But teams have made the adjustment. And when you look at Washington, what? They had 3 guys running the ball. Robinson, 21 carries for 96 yards. Gibson, 9 carries for 39. And Samuel, 3 for 23. And what you're finding, Chris, is that teams are doing more of a running back by committee. You know, other than really Tennessee, and when you have a running back like Derrick Henry, I understand why he is the number one and the number one option. Teams aren't doing that. Teams are not trying to just make one guy be the guy to run the football. I mean, listen, you could almost say that Barkley was more effective in the receiving than he was running. I mean, he had 5 receptions for 18 yards along of 7, and that's what they tried to do to make sure that they, because they were doing such a great job limiting him from the line of scrimmage, they tried to throw it to him a couple of times to still get him involved and try to do some things. Giants have – this is tough for them. They have some decisions to make, clearly, not only about Saquon Barkley, but also about Daniel Jones. You know, I would think that the way he's performed, he's got to come back. You're going to bring him back. I don't know whether you're going to give him – you know, you're not going to sign him long-term, but you're going to bring him back. He's done a decent job for you. He's not been a guy that has, you know, turned the football over. He's done a better job with that. He got sacked 4 times today, but he didn't throw a pick. He didn't lose fumbles that he's done in the past. He was efficient, 25 of 31, 200 yards. You know, I mean, if he had some receivers, it would be different. And he's struggling right that now. And the Giants have struggled all year with that. 1-800-919-3776. We'll continue the conversation with you on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to The Drive with Larry Hardesty on 98.7 ESPN.
Punting on 4th and 3 in the overtime. 4th and 3. And I get that you have a lot of faith in your defense. I get that. But for me, I mean, and I don't remember where they were on the field at that point. I'm not sure, but I just, to punt it back, I'm like, I don't know. I mean, for me, I'm trying to win this game. But listen, it didn't turn out well for the Giants. They didn't lose. But I don't know how that tie could come back and hurt them. It's The Drive on 98.7 ESPN, 1-800-919-3776. So it was, you know, once again, and we're going to have to take stock about this, and it's so fascinating because this has been fun for both local football teams to be in a position where they are playing meaningful games in December. We haven't had this in a while. I mean, we haven't. I mean, this has been a treat to not be talking about draft positions and what does each team need and what are they going to do. And, you know, I mean, just wishing for meaningful games. And even though they may not have won all the games and they may not have played well in all the games, as Dallas comes back to extend their lead, 5 plays, 26 yards, touchdown, extra point pending, 2013. It's been interesting. It's been a lot of fun. It's been great to talk about. It's been great to talk about what Gary Wilson's been able to do with the Jets and this Jet defense and how they're growing. And it's a young defense that's going to get even better as your secondary gets a year older next year and is better. And you look at the Giants and you see what, you know, Brian Daboll's been able to do with this team and Wink Martindale's been able to do with this defense and what they've done with this offense that has not had – you talk about an offense that doesn't have a bunch of weapons. I mean, Jet fans have talked about that for the past couple seasons, right, about how if we only had weapons. The Giants don't have any weapons at all. They have nothing consistently. They do not have anybody that resembles a number one receiver. But Darius Slayton has done a nice job. They've had guys who have made plays. But when you talk about number one receivers – you have to have big-time quarterback play and big-time receiving play to do well offensively in the National Football League. It just is. And there aren't a lot of great quarterbacks to go around. And so when you look at a situation, and we mentioned it a little bit earlier with the Jets, you're still kind of figuring out, okay, what are they going to do with Zach Wilson? What, you know, but right now, you don't care about that. Right now, you're riding with Mike White. And you're riding with Mike White because of what he has shown you. His ability to throw the football, his ability to... Now, he doesn't move around the pocket, and that's something that is, you know, could hinder him. But he's a guy that, I mean, he hits guys in stride. He throws a nice ball. He does, and once again, I'm not saying that Mike White is your franchise quarterback. I'm not saying that. I'm not. But what I am saying is he's giving you competent quarterback play that you did not get consistently this season. That's what he has brought to the table. And you can see the difference. You can see the difference in this offense. This doesn't look like the same offense that Zach Wilson was running. Not even close. I mean, you've got receivers that are, you got receivers hitting them. Even commentators were talking about how just on for running backs out of the backfield, how he leads them perfectly. And that's one of the things that Zach Wilson has struggled with, hitting open receivers. I mean, airmailing the ball, throwing the ball short. And once again, no quarterback is perfect. I'm not sitting here saying that Mike White is the answer to he's the perfect quarterback and all this other stuff. It's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is when you look at the comparison of how the system offensively is supposed to work and how it has worked previously, there's a world of difference, man. It's a world of difference. And similar for the Giants. When they were rolling with Saquon Barkley and not a whole lot of, and just some receiver play, they were doing a great job. They were rolling. They were in plays. They kept you close. And they waited for their defense kept them close, and they made some plays late, and that's how they won games early. And you could see they were well coached, and they didn't beat themselves. And that's what you respected about this Giant team. You didn't expect Giants to have 7 wins this year. I saw predictions where they would win 1, maybe 2, 3 games. And so you're now looking to recalibrate what your thought process is for both teams because of how they have performed. And so, while yes, the arrows are pointing up for both teams, as far as this season is concerned, you're expecting both these teams to make the playoffs. I mean, you are. This is a Jet team that beat Buffalo. I mean, everybody's beating Green Bay, I get it. But still, this is a Jet team that beat Buffalo, whom you didn't think they had a chance to beat. All right, with solid defense and just making a play here and a play there and great running plays. And so, yes, when you look at the game today, obviously, and we're raving about Mike White, but clearly you have to give Minnesota credit because Mike White had to throw the ball 57 times. Okay, that's not what you want to do. You're not trying to throw the ball 57 times. So what they were able to do, even though the Jets ran the ball for 120 yards, but they got down early, and so they had to be a little bit unbalanced as far as running and passing. But still, I mean, throwing the ball 51 times, and they tried to run the football. Now, you could argue that possibly in the red zone, they could have done a better job running the football there. But they did try to run the football. They tried. Minnesota's defense, which is how they play, is they're a bend but don't break defense. So they allow you to go between the 20s. You can make some plays, but once you get into the red zone, they do a better job of stopping you and making it really tough in constricted areas for you to move the football. And so really, you have to, against a defensive like that, kind of think about heading to the end zone before you get to the red zone, if that makes sense. Right, before you get locked into the inside the 20, you got to think about maybe 25, 30-yard line. Let's get in. Now, once again, they will go over the film tomorrow, and they will figure out what happened, and they will make the adjustments. Because you have to be able to score points. You're playing a Buffalo Bills team, and I know it's going to be cold, and there's probably still snow on the ground from the 75 inches they had a couple of weeks ago. But you have to be able to score touchdowns in this league to win. You can't win kicking field goals. You can't. Now, it's great that they made field goals that kept them within striking distance. I mean, that was cool. But you got to be able to hit sevens. Got to be able to hit sevens. And that's what cost the Jets today. And as far as the Giants are concerned, listen, they have a normally reliable Graham Gano who kicks that field goal from that distance probably 70% of the time, 80% of the time, and has done it easily. Just not today. 1-800-919-3776. We'll continue the drive on 98.7 ESPN.